You know that feeling when your day finally slows down and you just want to relax, unplug, and feel good? That's where Mood.com comes in. They're changing the game, delivering legal THC products right to your door, no shady dealers, and absolutely no medical card required, just good vibes and better sleep, shipped straight from their farm to your couch. From delicious THC gummies, smooth vape pens, to premium THC flower, Mood has it all. And everything's federally legal under the 2018 Farm Bill. Yeah, this isn't some loophole. It's the real deal. Head to Mood.com and use code FIRST20 for 20% off your first order. That's MOOD.com. Find your mood.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
When Ryan's when it's time to begin, it's on the Rewind Around with John Pollock and Waiting the A-Team that makes sense of these things we see in the ring every week on TV. It's Rewind Around for Monday night, download a Tuesday morning from the Post Wrestling site. It's Rewind Around for Monday night on USA Now on the John and Wait take the mic.
All right. John Pollock and Waiting, about to dive into Raw from Evansville, Indiana. The Ford
ever been?
Center. No, never been to Evansville.
Planning
or
to?
Indiana for that time. I've driven through Indiana, never stopped.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I have no idea. I have no idea what the place has to offer, what it's known for.
Evansville. Maybe we can contact Patrick Talty of the Indiana Sports Corp. Maybe he can give us some pointers if we ever want to travel down to Indiana for some sightseeing. We do want to alert everyone that on Sunday, we did drop a whole review of both WrestlePalooza and All Out. 2.5 hours dissecting both of these shows, as well as a quick review of the CMLL anniversary card from Friday night. But more importantly, a thorough breakdown of the ad inventory on WrestlePalooza, including the most EMF friendly match in WWE history.
Yeah, I'm buying. I mean, I was feeling a bit of a headache today, John, and I just started wondering, oh man, the 5G, the electromagnetic fields that are all around us, how much of it has affected me. You know, I dug a bit deeper on like the WWE's relationship with this like company Eras, and they've not just obviously done this, like, you know, match promotion for the Usos versus the Vision being the first EMF friendly match. They've shot videos with their talent promoting these things. And
I'm running to watch these after we finish.
Barrett and Cole do one that is about as just like,
oh my God,
thrown together and about as like, I don't know, like these guys certainly don't take this shit seriously, like that you can imagine. Balor does one that looks like he, you know, it's a hostage video and he's being put, you know, pointed at with some sort of rifle in order to read these lines. But of course, AJ Styles does one that is about as like sincere and as like he's into this, you know, like as you could imagine. So
I don't mean to assign my assumptions, but I would think that AJ would be all in on this.
Well, he wore one in a match. Like, little did we know, but like, he, you know, you saw a clip of this either. I mean, there are probably plenty of people that are into this shit, but yeah, I'm just fascinated by it all.
Just amazing. Thank God for Waiting and his attention to detail on this ad integration on Saturday's show. Well, tonight, everybody, we have 6,400 tickets distributed at the Ford Center, according to WrestleTix. We see multiple arrivals, including The Vision and Stephanie Vaquer with her father taking in a second show this week. I thought for sure we were getting an angle with the father, but he was just here to watch.
We could still be. You know, it's not out of the question.
Is he just going to follow her on, go on tour now?
It's, but I mean, possibly.
You know who needs to be signed is Lola Vice's father. Did you see him in the video that they did a few weeks ago? The karate instructor. This guy was amazing.
Yeah, I would even save him for like the main roster. Okay, like just shoot him right up to the main roster. Lola Vice, you still need a bit of time, you know, working things out at the PC. Lola Vice's dad, welcome to the main roster.
Like when it comes to cutting promos, like maybe they could have just said, you know what, Lola, you can talk. We're taking your dad. We're making him Stephanie Vaquer's dad. Is that okay? Because this guy, I think his name is Frank Lareda. This guy was just amazing in this video. I mean, I was sometimes things just land in your lap. And Frank Lareda was that example.
When are we going to get the Hall of Fame of great wrestling dads? Okay. You know, I could think of
Papa Briscoe.
Papa Briscoe is in there. What is it? Miz's dad, certainly. You know, I think is a good candidate. I mean, Master Lareda probably has potential. So, honestly, it's the most interested I've ever been in Lola Vice because of this.
Well, maybe he will show up for the show in Fort Lauderdale this coming Saturday. Maybe he'll be on hand to see if Lola wins the title. LA Knight walks in as Rusev is in the back confronting Dominic, wanting his title shot. And then Cody Rhodes starts the show, and he mentions the crown jewel ring that he won last year at Crown Jewel, and he wants to win another one. He's got 9 extra digits, so he could win this for the next decade. He could fill up his hands with these rings. And Seth cuts him off, coming out with the Vision, and Rollins comes in by himself, and he said that Crown Jewel has been circled around his calendar ever since SummerSlam. So this guy saw Drew McIntyre as a lame duck challenger. He knew that Cody would get through him and they would meet at Crown Jewel. And here we are. He said that we are two of the best in the world in their prime, but it goes deeper between us. And there's CM Punk chants. There was no CM Punk on this show, by the way. And Rollins asks, "What do you think of me?" Cody says, "It's complicated." And he mentions how Seth has changed his life by facing an unknown at WrestleMania 38 that turned out to be him. Their Hell in a Cell match in 2022, which was their last televised match together, that showed Cody how deep he can dig. And you were my shield at WrestleMania 40. So he asks, "Seth, what do you think of yourself? Because I think you're one of the absolute best, but the version I think of as the best isn't one hiding behind these 3 goons." And Heyman did not associate himself as a goon. Rollins then reveals his watch that Cody gave him as a gift after WrestleMania 40 that he has not worn until now, and asks if this was a real gift or just a token gesture. How do you think Seth reacted when he was given this gift? Do you think there was a camera right in front of him when he opened this?
I don't recall seeing it. I feel like
They never did show him receiving this. We got Cody on camera getting the gift from Nick Khan and Paul.
They have footage of everything. I'm sure we'll maybe see some hidden camera footage of it someday.
Did you see the footage of Stephanie getting backstage and Paul coming up to her?
I did not, no.
They're just like embracing for the longest time. They just, the cameras just stuck like right in front of them.
Are you surprised by any of this, John?
No, I'm like, not surprised by all this. I'm just talking about like just how you have to just acclimate to.
This is a content creation family. Okay. Like, I mean, they, at least like they know when it comes to something like this, think of the views.
I'm sure that's what they were thinking about. So from there, Cody heaps praise upon him and says that, or sorry, Cody is the one that heaps praise when it suits him, but later undermines what he stands for. "You claim to be the right person to lead this company into the future. You claim to be the quarterback. So what does that say about me? Either you think I'm not good enough or I'm not as good as you." And the Vision represent what the future of this industry. "Cody, you can be the quarterback, but you'll be my quarterback. I am the alpha." And Cody asks, "Is this going to be a one-on-one match?" as he refers to the Vision. And also, "Who's won all of our matches as well?" And Rollins is left to contemplate this as Cody makes his way to the back. And this is our main event for October the 11th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, the announcement of Cody versus Seth was expected and sensible, you know, for a crown jewel. I can't say I was that intrigued by the match when, you know, I just saw the marquee because, I mean, even though their feud has been 3 years since it occurred, it still feels like I've seen enough of this to be that excited about it. But I thought the segment tonight did a lot to maybe refresh my interest and to let me know that it's going to be different this time around because, you know, they've lived a lot since then. In particular, their team up together against the Bloodline. And it tells me that this match will be built very differently from their other matches because it's not just going to be a straightforward heel babyface dynamic. This is, from what we can tell right now, it's going to be built off of a former partnership and some sort of mutual respect born out of what is now a legacy rivalry. I thought both men sounded really good here, very believable in the segment. And I think ultimately they're telling a very simple story. Who is going to be the ace of this company, right? Who is going to be the person leading this company into the next whatever generation? And that's exactly what a championship versus championship, or at least champion versus champion match, should answer.
And how much media does Cody do going into this show? And what impact will that cross-continental flight have on his equilibrium when it comes to the match in Australia?
Was this something hinted at?
That was a story in the Drew match. All the media he's doing and his head trauma. Right.
Okay. Yes.
Can't say concussion, but we'll see.
Jet lag might be a factor. We'll see. Yeah, but the concussion storyline, like, I don't sense that being.
They didn't bring that up at all in this match or in this promo or any follow up. Nor did he sell any of this that he was all wobbly and escaped on Saturday. They just treated it like a clean win, and the guy's at full health.
Do you have an early prediction about who wins or loses this one?
I could see a lot of reasons for Seth winning this.
I could too. I think Cody can afford the loss right now. I think it's more important to build Seth in the vision. But I could see it both ways. But I'm more so thinking Seth wins this one.
It was a good segment for setting things up and. Like the idea here is that, you know, Seth has turned, but he has never turned on Cody. These two, the last they were together, they had formed a bond coming out of WrestleMania 40, going in and coming out of it. So that is what we have. And a very short turnaround. We have, you know, 2 weeks to build this up. The Usos are in the back, and Jay, maybe he got some of that Ari's treatment because he made a full recovery from his braining, as they described it. That's the medical term LA Knight gave. Jay was like, just he had a bandage on his head and boom, he's back and let's have him wrestle tonight.
Yes. I mean, last we heard he was under concussion protocol and I'm assuming whatever protocol, whatever tests that was in that protocol, he passed because he wrestled on the very next show.
Jimmy calls it trash that they lost, wants a rematch with the Vision, and Jay says, I've already got a match with LA Knight tonight, and Jimmy's not sure if that's a good idea, and Jay says that he would have won the match for both of them if Knight wasn't the referee, and he's going to body LA Knight tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I mean, I thought this was really strong backstage here. You know, Jay has been feeling some heelish edge over the past several weeks. It seemed to go away last week, but this loss to the Vision at WrestlePalooza has driven that back to a big extent. And I thought Jay, all throughout this episode, was great at conveying frustration and also a bit of anxiety here and lashing out via just anger, you know, like this guy was very intense here. Like you just wanted to, you know, give him a Snickers or something. So good little tension building here between the two of them as well, with like Jay almost, you know, blaming Jimmy for teaming with LA Knight last week.
Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states, thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab-tested, real results. Go to Mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's Mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
The New Day and Grayson Waller against Penta and the two men that have his back, the War Raiders, in a no DQ match. So that means kendo sticks. We have Waller attacking Eric with one. Penta then used one on Waller. And the New Day double team Eric on the floor. Penta hits a dive. That sets up the commercial. When we come back, Kingston comes off the top with a leg drop, putting Penta through a table on the floor that one of the War Raiders was blocking the shot of, but thankfully they showed you the replay. Ivar wiped out with a moonsault that missed both members of the New Day. And so Penta throws Kingston through a table in the corner, and Waller goes after Penta with the kendo stick. They fight onto the turnbuckle, ending with Penta hitting this insane-looking Mexican destroyer off the second turnbuckle and sending Grayson Waller into protocol in 10 minutes and 15 seconds. So I think that will be it for Grayson Waller.
Yeah, so they've all taken Mexican destroyers, you know. But no real lasting effect, at least to Kofi, right? Like, Woods at one point was selling a broken neck. That he seems to be healed from that. Kofi, I guess, is fine.
There might be something to this product integration, because the recuperative abilities of some of these talents is extraordinary.
Clearly, the 5G was assisting this Mexican destroyer, and, not anymore. I thought this match was really excellent. Like, this feud has been awful. You know, this, like, the Vigil stuff, I think, has been pretty lame. Fighting over sombreros, like, none of it has really been
Morning Wood.
But this match was very good. You know, there's no real silliness here, just a lot of fast-paced action, big spot after big spot, table breaks, incredible moves. So who would have thought that the key to, in my opinion, renewing interest into getting these guys over would be in-ring action? But, you know, it worked out very well for the SmackDown tag division. I'm hoping we're starting to see the same with Raw.
Well, we're starting from a very low bar, the rejuvenation of the Raw tag division, which is literally dead, as the story goes. Judgment Day meet in the back. Dom comes in, and he's all worried about Rusev. And Balor, following last week, thought that Dom had everything handled. And Dom regrets what he said. And Balor's dismissive, saying maybe El Grande Americano can go help you, but he's off in Mexico. Balor says, I'm busy tonight. With what?
Playing video games.
Okay. That's what he flew to Evansville for. Mm-hmm. So he asks JD for some help. JD is busy too. And you told us you didn't need our help last week. Roxanne steps in. They're a team. Dom needs help. So JD reluctantly agrees, and with that, Dom says, great, I've already gone to Adam Pearce and gotten you a match with Rusev, which was, I thought that was a clever ending to this segment, that Dom had already gone and made the match. And then we go to our favorite storyline. It's Lyra Valkyria and Bayley. Lyra has thought all week about walking into the room without knocking, and she apologizes for walking in on Bayley last week. Bayley has no recollection of this. She's just ecstatic about the run-in she did last week and helping Lyra, and she wants Lyra to be in her corner tonight, and Lyra just has to play shocked. What's going on here? And says, well, Bayley, if this is the best version of yourself and you need my help, then I'll do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, because you see, John, she doesn't remember her doing the other thing because they're two different personalities within the same person.
Mm-hmm. And that would mean you would have no recollection of what your alter personality or your alternate personality would be engaging in.
Of course. Yeah.
Okay.
Everybody knows that.
All right. I'm just trying to keep this all straight in my head.
It's a relatively easy to follow storyline so far, and I think it'll resonate with their fans.
Adam Pearce brings out Stephanie Becaire, and she cuts a promo. This is the dream of her life. She worked and sacrificed for this. Io's one of the best on the planet, and she thanks her hero, her father, who is there in the front row. She thanks the fans. She's going to keep making history. No one can stop me. And she will be at SmackDown on Friday to see the three-way match and who she will face at Crown Jewel to come out of that match. And that was it. Like, there was no interruption. There was no angle with the father, just a celebration of winning the title, and she'll be on SmackDown. She was granted a public hall pass by Adam Pearce.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the angle, I mean, was really just the announcement of the match. But I felt like what was intriguing here was, I mean, this promo. You can make the argument that this promo is as important as, I think, Stephanie having that match on Saturday, because we all know she could wrestle. There are a lot of people who can wrestle, but can she talk? And ultimately, like, you're asking the question, is she well-rounded enough to be somebody that they could build the division around, to build stories with at the very top? And I thought she did really great. You know, it's clear she's been working on her English, like, a lot. She sounded perfect here. I think she also sounded authentic. She sounded confident, which are just, like, beyond just knowing the words, I mean, much tougher things to try to, you know, deliver well on live television. And I thought she did great.
Wait till she has to do some of these ad reads on camera.
Can't she sell me on EMF protection is the big test.
That's when you graduate to the Wade Barrett, AJ Styles level.
Okay. Can they make a championship belt out of this EMF protected material? You know, can we get the EMF championship, basically?
I mean, you joke. How far away are we from, like, you know, these gold bars that form a championship?
Yeah, yeah.
She's anytime they do these segments, I think it's like it's I think the audience really gets into it. Like, they see, like, she's really making that effort. She comes across very sincere and genuine. And I think, like, when they've done this in NXT, when they've done this on the main roster, I think generally she's always come across well in these segments.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's just been an incredible, like, year and a few months from her. Like, thinking all the way back to Forbidden Door of last year, the Monet match, all the way from that to this point. I mean, it really has been a really rapid, you know, ascension.
After the break, Vicara runs into Nikki Bella, and
who didn't really have much to do on the show other than this continued interaction.
Did you hear what she called her best bud?
You're reaching for it, I know.
I don't have it, actually.
You don't have it.
What happened? Way, right?
But maybe I'm going to have to add Mamacita to the good old soundboard. This was literally all Nikki had to do on the show. She congratulates Stephanie, and Rhea comes in to take command of the screen and remind Stephanie, I'm still coming for that title. Ha ha ha. Asuka and Kairi come in, and Asuka says that Sky should be champion and is willing to fight Asuka anytime. Ripley is sick of Asuka's attitude and issues a challenge for tonight, and Kairi tries to apologize on Asuka's behalf, but no one's hearing any of it. And the match is made, as Wade calls this, a WrestleMania caliber main event later tonight. Mm.
I like, in speaking about just, like, improved English speaking ability, I think Asuka should really be commended for that as well. Like, you're definitely sensing it just watching on TV, but if you go to her YouTube channel and see, like, some of the stuff she's putting up there, like, she just sounds so much more confident now. So again, it's resulted in, I think, bigger roles for all of them on screen, and much more entertaining sort of, like, characters with a bit more depth and interest attached to them.
These, like, Asuka and Kairi are getting, like, how many scenes on a given Raw? Like, way they're more in than multiple than when, segments.
Yeah, like, way more than show. Way more than when they were, like, you know, just attached to, for instance, like, Dakota Kai as a speaking person. No shade on Dakota Kai. That's just sort of, like, they got a mouthpiece for them because they thought they couldn't talk. But clearly it's working out really well. What do you think is going on with Nikki Bella? Like, it seems like they're teasing something.
I think here, they're right? going to turn her at a certain point, because she's really going nowhere in this babyface role. Like, I know she is popular to the audience, but she just does not fit in this role. Like, it is too much of just the third wheel that I think you really do need a heel to come out of this, and that would be my thought.
So Nikki Bella versus Stephanie McQuay, the match,
I think,
right?
So
has to be. All right,
and she goes back to that pronunciation.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Roxanne Perez and Bayley. They mentioned that Roxanne and LA Knight are tied for the most number of matches this year.
What are their records, I wonder?
That would be worth looking at. I think LA Knight's made a bit of a turnaround. I would imagine Roxanne Perez has not racked up too many wins this year. So Perez goes after the knee of Bayley. Roxanne looked really good in this match. She hit a Rana off the top, did her cartwheel into the double knees, and then a side Russian leg sweep off the middle turnbuckle. Maybe that was her shout out to Brett. And then a pop rocks on the floor as Bailey's knee is still injured. She manages to get in at the count of nine, and then Raquel yanks Bayley back out, prompting Lyra to come over and send Raquel into the post. Bayley then snaps and adjusts personalities as she grabs her hair, yells.
How can you tell she snapped and adjusted personality, John? What made you?
Because she screamed. She screamed and she went like this. This is the sign that you're altering your personality.
She had a headache, basically. Yeah.
So she came with the Bayley to belly, the big knee, and one with the rose plant in 10 minutes and 46 seconds. Lyra comes in, hugs Bayley, and Bayley doesn't know who this woman is and just shoves her to the ground and asks, "Why did you touch me with your stupid outfit? Just stay out of it."
Mm-hmm.
I think this character will actually be like, I am not concerned at all about Bayley, but Lyra is just, I don't know, she is just comes off so comically bad in all of these interactions.
Well, I mean, she's in the role of like being the straight person here to sell for the over the top gimmick, right? Like, her role is necessary. And listen, John Pollock cannot recap this character without sounding like he's making fun of it, right? Like, it's just impossible because it's ridiculous when you're reading it on paper. But I actually feel like it's working out well, you know? Like, this is a really, this match in particular, I thought was a big test of the transform, like this sort of transformation Jekyll and Hyde gimmick, right? And to me, like, whether or not the character works, I thought was largely contingent on whether or not this moment of her transforming mid-match would work. And I thought it did. Like, we've had character transformations in wrestling. We've had alter egos in wrestling. But it's often achieved through, like, different, like, what, makeup, you know, like with Muda and, like, the demon and all this other stuff.
Alternate music playing.
Exactly, yeah. But it's very difficult to achieve just in the middle of a match with no sort of visual, like, signal other than your own acting and holding your head like this. Like, I'm about to just transform. It's corny and it's over the top, but I also think it kind of needs to be in order to sell this gimmick to a certain audience, much of which I'm assuming is going to be younger. It has, like, wrestling has to be kind of corny in order to reach as many people as possible. So, I mean, I've at least found it compelling for the amount of TV time that, you know, she took up this week.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Support for this post-wrestling podcast comes from those of you who have picked up our merch over at Chopped Tees. T-shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, and hats from post-wrestling and our network of shows, including the NWA Podcast, Poison Rana, The Long and Winding Royal Road, WrestleNomics, and MC Later. Free shipping to almost anywhere in the entire world. No minimum spend required. That's chop-tees.com/post-wrestling.
Cody meets with Jimmy Uso and is like, "Hey, man, SmackDown?
Yeah, me too. What are you doing here? I don't know. Me neither. We're just here. You know where Jay is? Yeah, he works on this show. Can you go talk to him? Cody's like, I don't have anything else to do tonight. So sure, I'll go talk to Jay. So he walks into the locker room and he asks Jay, are you okay? And this was a nice signal of, like, you know, men talking about their problems. He says, I'm good. And Cody's like, okay, well, you know, I've had a lot of highs and lows, and I've failed on the biggest stage. I got turned on by my home promotions crowd. He says, but you have your family, you've got your friends, and Jay, we believe in you. Jay's like, I'm going to find my way back up to the top. Cody's like, cool, bye. And that was it for Cody.
Stereotypical male interaction is about as, like, apt of a description for this, because it's like, I mean, I thought the subtext was really strong here in that, like, Cody comes out, like, it's not like it was his idea to go talk to Jay, right? Like,
yeah, why would I care about this guy's feelings?
Yeah, his brother told him to, and you kind of got as much enthusiasm from Cody as, like, that would entail. It's like, oh, okay, I kind of have to do this now. He comes in. It's like a dad talking to his teenage son about feelings, and you know neither of them really want to do it, right? Cody gives, like, about as generic of a pep talk as you can get. And Jay, I thought, like, in saying as few words as he did, like, perfectly conveyed somebody simply knowing the right things to say to get the other person to leave the room. He's just like, I'm good, man. I'm good. And just like, basically just wanted to stew in his own, like, thoughts. And
how about Jay eyeing this hardware here?
100%. That too. Yeah. So they're still teasing the heel turn, I think, very well, with Cody maybe setting his sights on, Jay setting his sights on Cody rather than, you know, the Raw champion, which at this point doesn't matter at all. Like, who's on Raw and who's on SmackDown. But I thought Jay was really good here. Like,
it was fine. Like, it was a very simply written segment here. But I was with you. Like, I thought Jay, that was handled well. Like, I like the fact that they're not going where I think a lot of people thought they were going several weeks ago, that it was just, oh, Jay's gonna, like, turn, and instead they're they're preserving all the stock they put into this guy this year as a babyface while he's at this crossroads of his career, since losing the championship, and he's on this, like, losing skid. JD McDonagh and Rusev. I thought these two actually, like, gelled pretty well in this match. Like, JD just flew around for Rusev. He was a very good opponent for Rusev's offense. JD hits a Asai moonsault, Busaiku knee, but Rusev kicks out at one, and then executes a headbutt and a top rope moonsault. Rusev kicks out at two, and JD hits these short arm clotheslines, can't get Rusev down, and then gets spun into a Uranage, Machka kick, and accolade, when Dominic, who is in the corner, jumps onto the apron, but seeing JD in the accolade, won't enter the ring, as JD is forced to submit in 10 minutes and 12 seconds. Rusev won't let go of the accolade, so Finn Balor pops up out of nowhere. He fights Rusev off and then gets in Dom's face for not helping out JD here. So they argued on their way to the back, and it will be Dominic and Rusev next week for the title.
I thought it was a good way to continue to build some tension here between Balor and Dom, and I thought Rusev looked pretty good here, you know, and I like the fact that, like,
he got this time, and he had, like, a really good opponent to work with that could take all of his big spots. And I thought JD looked very good in the match. And
Rusev was, at this point, I mean, obviously going up against Dom is just a baby face and a pretty straightforward one at that. Like, we're not getting any of that big poetic promo stuff, at least this week. And I think ultimately that's what the audience wants out of him. You know, they just want, like, a big meaty monster who kicks ass, and nothing more complicated than that. And I thought
I could see Rusev winning this belt next week. Like, he doesn't need to have the two. You've got the AAA belt, and you're doing this Balor story as well. So I don't know. It wouldn't shock me if they just put this belt onto Rusev to just focus Dom on the mega championship. Kabuki Warriors meet with Io, and Sky says, you don't need to do this. And Asuka says she's going to teach Rhea respect. I don't want advice from someone who lost. And Sky asks Kairi to speak with Asuka, and Sane just says, Asuka is the reason we're here. We must listen to her.
Mm-hmm.
So Asuka's amazing in this role, but to me, I think Kairi is just so great in every one of these. Like, it's so over the top, but it's like, to me, she steals the scenes at the end with just like, it's like, this is the story we've talked about. Like, here is the rebellious child that wants to go and has the wild love interest. And we have the stern father and the timid wife who just wants to make peace in her household. Mm-hmm. That's what we've got here.
Exactly. Yeah. Kairi lives in fear of Asuka. And there is some like solid explanation for some of this that Asuka kind of explains on her YouTube channel, where a lot of this he explains as part of the senpai kohai relationship that is common in Japan, where, you know, like the senior here, Asuka, the person who got here first, demands a level of respect from the others. And Io kind of rebelling against that is obviously the reason why maybe she's being ticked off, and why Kairi is so afraid and so completely obedient to Asuka.
Yeah, this is kind of like the Queen of Villains like family dynamic with like Dump Matsumoto with like her mother and father.
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, you never saw that?
No, I want to. Just haven't made time for it.
Jackie Redmond interviews LA Knight. He just cuts her off. It's too long of a question, he says, and Jay should be worried about his health. He doesn't want to hurt him, but is willing to after he brained himself on Saturday. He brained himself. He found what can I say instead of concussion?
Oh,
brained him. He brained him. So Jay Uso and LA Knight, I thought these guys worked at like a pretty quick pace for what you would expect out of these two. Like, they just went hard for 8.5 minutes.
Something notable. I don't know how long he's been doing this, but like Jay appeared without his signature colorful Yeet t-shirt. He showed up to the crowd in a black tank top. Mm. And obviously, I mean, read into that whatever you want.
So there were multiple BFTs attempted by LA Knight. He hit a superplex, and then Knight avoids the super kick and he hits his version of the burning hammer. And then Jay hits a super kick. There's a DDT by Knight, hits the leaping elbow, and then signals finally for the blunt force trauma. When Reed and Breaker appear at ringside, Knight tries to fight them off, and in doing so takes his eyes off of Jay. And when he turns around, Jay capitalizes by spearing Knight and hits the Uso splash, winning in 8 minutes and 36 seconds. The moral of the story: when someone's running in, let the other guy take care of it.
Yeah. Which is what Jay was criticizing Jimmy for not allowing the Vision to do last week.
Yes. So I like this. I thought that, we've been talking for multiple weeks now that I do feel like LA Knight in this, you know, semi-main event role on Raw each week. Oh, I think this guy has really upped his game over these last few months. And I thought like this was one of Jey Uso's better singles matches. I mean, it was only 8.5 minutes, but even the run-ins, like they were done with like a purpose rather than just an out to the match. Like there was a logical story to be told here of where they got. And then as Jey is leaving, he leaves LA Knight for dead, and Jimmy comes out saying we should help him. Jay's like, no, I'm done, and he goes to the back. So Jimmy runs down with a chair to save LA Knight. So I like this whole deal, what they did here, and it does set up a rematch next week. It will be a tornado tag with the Usos against Breaker and Reed.
Mm-hmm. This particular week, I've been very impressed with this particular storyline. I've been also very impressed with Knight's consistency. I think he's like, again, like showing all of us that he's capable of this bigger world championship type of role. And now I've also been really impressed with Jey Uso's ability to sell me on an evolution of his character. We're seeing the next phase of main event Jey Uso, and that is potentially a heel, or at the very least, a more heelish edge to the character, which I've been really enjoying. Just some of the acting work. I think Jimmy's been fantastic here in a supporting role, just kind of guiding all of this along and making it work and playing off of Jay. And I think it's a lower card feud. Well, it's not a lower card feud. It's a lower upper card feud, if you know what I mean. And that doesn't involve Roman, Cody, Punk, Cena, but it's been well told. And I think it's helping elevate this whole group, including Braun and Bronson, to that higher level.
Becky is with Seth, and Becky's just going on and on about Cody, calling him fake. He's a phony. I don't rate Cody. I've never seen one of Cody's matches and said, wow, that's a really great match. It's just, I've never rated Cody. And Seth is meanwhile not listening to her at all. He's staring at the watch. And Becky ends it by, she calls the fans thieves who are stealing everything they've worked for and says she is going to go make an example. And she walks out of the room. And as we were going through this, I was going through my notes to make sure I didn't miss a segment. There was nothing that followed this with Becky going to make an example.
Yeah, now that you mentioned, I completely forgot about this until your recap. And yeah, we at least on television, we've got zero follow-up. Like, unless they did something like online or in between a commercial break or something, there is nothing.
She is wandering the streets of Evansville right now with that championship to do something. We went off the air. I was like, at the end of this, I was like, there was no payoff to this. She just wandered off in the arena to do God knows what.
I mean, maybe she's teasing something for next week, okay? Like, and she just has to prep for it now. It's going to take 7 days to make that example.
Okay, well, maybe next week we'll pick up and Seth is still staring at that goddamn watch. Rhea meets with Io. This segment was just amazing. Rhea goes, are we allowed to be around each other? And Io says, Rhea, you've got to call this off. And Rhea says, Io, it has to happen. Maybe I can beat some respect into Asuka, just like you and I did. And she grabs her by the arm. Rhea says, be careful around Asuka. And at this point, Sky gets serious. She says, Asuka, she's family. I wouldn't be here without Asuka. I can trust her. Can I trust you? And as Io walks off, Rhea is left to say, Io, that's not what I meant.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you, John, for the lovely recap.
Dude, that's not too far off.
Oh my God.
This is like
100% they're writing this story.
Like, this is Romeo and Juliet that we are watching here. And
they're 100% writing the storyline for like the shippers and like the slash fiction writers and just like
they're having a field day with this.
Oh my God. And it's great. It's fantastic. So, yeah,
Io,
it's a lot of fun.
That's not what I meant. This month on the Post Wrestling Cafe, we're going back to November of 1995 as Rewind Away takes a look at the Survivor Series featuring Diesel defending the WWF Championship against Bret Hart. We'll also have weekly editions of Collision Course with the carousel of co-hosts joining Kate from Montreal, reviews of TNA Victory Road, New Japan's Destruction in Kobe, and it is the Ask Away Mailbag Show as John and Way answer your questions all this month at postwrestlingcafe.com. So next week in North Carolina, we've got Dominic and Rusev, Bayley against Raquel, and the Tornado tag match with the Usos against the Vision, and maybe an example made by Becky Lynch, but no guarantees. Los Americanos video featuring shots of old Lucha legends, and then none of them are like the three of us, as we have now established the triangle of Americanos, as they state that nature is healing as the power of Grande Americano grows. They are restored and they are rejuvenated and they appear to be multiplying.
Well, at least into this three, right?
Yes. Yeah. So are we sticking with three? No more growth?
I mean, that's the sense I get. Yeah. So we did see like a close-up still shot that I'm showing on screen right now. And I don't think, like, this doesn't look like either Pete Dunne or Tyler Bate to me.
This barely looks like humans. This looks very
AI generated.
Very
I was
much so. Like, I don't think these are real people.
Yeah, I don't think so either. So, I mean, that could just be their way of like obscuring, you know, who actually might be under these masks. But
Are we sure it isn't Roderick Strong from Dynamite last week?
What?
From that poster?
Oh. that is something altogether. I don't even think AI could generate that image, but yeah, I mean, I'm assuming it'll still be bait and done.
Pierce is with Maxine and she's talking about how hard she's working. I assume she wants another match. Pierce just tells her, keep working and we'll get you an opportunity. But just for clarification, no one rides the bench. Our EMF spokesperson and Dragon Lee came in to complain about Los Americanos. They want them in a match next week. So Pierce just makes it. And AJ says, hey, how about we don't sign any more Americanos, okay?
Yes.
I don't want to deal with any more of these Americanos.
Anything to hear that AJ impression. I love that AJ Styles and Dragon Lee are still a team, and that they seem to be a team going forward, at least for a little while, because, of course, we have AJ Lee as an official tag team.
Yeah, who would have thought years ago that Punk would be getting AJ to do memes on his Instagram?
That's like about like number nine on the list of like, can you believe, you know, CM Punk is doing this?
AJ was pretty high. AJ was pretty high up there. Like, yeah, he wasn't top three, but he was definitely top five. That I would not have been expecting this.
A lot of changes.
Who thought of this? You assume Punk?
Yeah, yeah. I
want to believe it was Styles. Hey, get it? I'm AJ and he's Lee and you're married to us both. Get out the phone. Sure, AJ. Whatever you want, Alan. Asuka and Rhea Ripley is our main event. 17 minutes and 15 seconds this goes. Their first singles match since December of 2022. And in fact, they were correct. Asuka has never beaten Rhea Ripley. So Ripley hits a superplex and then a razor's edge. She also threw a spinning elbow that had a bit more of a connection than Eddie Kingston's. Asuka puts on the armbar. Rhea's out and Asuka hits the head kick. She starts to get annoyed with Kairi on the floor and then goes for the leg of Rhea, twists the ankle and lifts her for the German. They were having a very good match up until this point. Asuka comes off the buckle. Rhea catches her with a drop kick and then Sane is possessed by the evil of Asuka or Aries. And she is holding her hand. She's like, no, I can't. This was amazing acting. I mean, between Kairi and Bailey, I mean, I'm all for performers being possessed by greater spirits than themselves.
You're enjoying your WWE in 2025.
I love it.
Is this or WWE in 1995? Are we that far off?
We weren't quite getting this level in 1995, I don't think.
The wrestling's way better, though.
That's true. We watched an okay show, that opener.
True, true.
But, yeah. So she has to just give in to the power, and she goes for the cutlass, which Rhea catches, and Asuka runs at Rhea, misses her, and takes out Kairi with a hip attack, and Rhea capitalizes with a small package, pinning Asuka, keeping the streak alive, and then it is time for our post-match when Asuka, not a good sport after this loss, mists Rhea, not just in the face, it's like the whole upper body, and suddenly we got Mystique making her WWE debut here.
She sent her to, like, you know, the blue world, because she turned her into Avatar here.
How in God's name was all of this in her mouth?
I have no idea, dude. This is like she turned her into a
That's
smurf.
Like projectiling onto Rhea here. She's covered. Her whole upper body is covered in this stuff.
It's a very powerful mist.
Poor Rhea had to sell this for like a good 5 minutes because she just had to stumble around as we do this other angle because Io runs down worried that Rhea's been sent into like another species and gets into the ring. And she's looking at Asuka, and Asuka starts to tear up. The two hug one another, and then Asuka has no time anymore for Io. The weak must be eliminated, and she spins and takes out Io, and the crowd can't believe this, and holds her for an insane elbow as Kairi cries at the end of this and stares at her hands. What have I done? This is by far the greatest WWE look at my hands angle that they have ever done. And we got, the full-on elimination of Io Sky from the Kabuki Warriors here.
Yeah, big turn here. Big angle to close the show. First of all, I thought the match was excellent. You know, you're talking about, to me, two of the best wrestlers in the company, period. And I thought they tore it up. I think this was this angle needed to, be somewhat serious. But it was sort of, in my opinion, kind of undercut by, like, Kyrie's very comedic sort of selling of it. And for that reason, I kind of expected the reaction to be bigger and more of like a holy shit type of moment than I think it actually received. I suppose, number one, it's like it's very expected at this point. But I also do wonder if like going so comedic with it, especially in Kyrie's role, was necessarily the right thing. But it going forward, I mean, this is the direction that I think we all want to see. We want to see the Kabuki Warriors versus a team of Rhea and Io, star-crossed lovers now finally able to be together.
Yeah, I was questioning if they were going to try and draw this out even longer, and it would be Io aligning with the Kabuki Warriors just out of her loyalty to them that they were, but instead they just won. I would not be advocating either for turning Io. It would only be, you know, temporary until you do the big break from the Kabuki Warriors. But, you know, it makes a lot of sense to do this as some kind of tag program. I think a lot of it too is like Rhea feels like she's on ice until the Rumble, and it's keeping her in prominent stories until you're getting to Rumble time, because I think she's sort of going to be in this position where she's not going she's keeping it out there that she wants to go for this title, but I think you want to keep her occupied until like a bigger show.
It's a great way to just kind of open the path for Stephanie Vaquer to take that spotlight onto herself and just kind of carve her own lane and develop until you get Rhea ready. I'm really glad to see that they're finally making use of this tag team division. Who are the champions right now?
Charlotte and Alexa.
Okay. Well, at
fresh
least there's
off
some
a title defense at Homecoming.
There's some tag division. Might not necessarily involve Charlotte and Alexa, but you're getting two really solid tag teams being built here.
Do you assume this will be Rhea's match in Australia? This tag match?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's sure. What I thought by the end of it. I mean, you want to have her in something prominent, and I think this tag match could be it. And she should sell the paralysis for at least 2 weeks.
She should show up like blue next week.
Yes. Yes. That'd be great. All right. Well, there you go. That was Raw. Your overall thoughts, Wei, from the show?
I enjoyed the show overall. I thought like the LA Knight Jey Uso storyline, I think has been like done really well. Performances from all of them, I thought was really solid. I liked the Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins promo segment earlier on, like a very serious tone to it. It's just like, who is going to be the ace of the company? Very simple storytelling that I thought was well told, well conveyed. What else we got here? Asuka and Io, of course, you know.
Yeah. I thought overall, angle. Like there was
good wrestling.
No match on this show got, Jey Uso and LA Knight was 8.5 minutes, but everything else got 10 or more. You got a lot of time for the main event with Rhea and Asuka going 17. There was some good stuff on the show. And quite honestly, like for these champion versus champion programs, if it was longer than like 3 weeks to build these up, I think you would kind of run into like, this is just like, who's the better champion? And you, it's the kind of pay-per-view you want to have a quick turnaround to get to, because it kind of is just that's the focus right there. And they went a bit deeper with Cody and Seth as well.
New Day versus Penta and the Vikings, I thought was an excellent match. You know, that's usually the weak
highlight
part
of the heel
show.
Tonight.
That's usually the weak point of the show, and they had a great showing. You know, we got this Bayley stuff, which I guess, you know, your mileage may vary depending on how much you're able to take that sort of cartoonish stuff. But I mean, I think the performance has been enjoyable. Good show, I thought, overall.
Well, did you think it was a good show? We are going to find that answer out at forum.postwrestling.com. We're going to say goodbye to everyone that's joining us on the YouTube stream. But hey, give this video a thumbs up and hit subscribe on the Post Wrestling YouTube channel. Lots of great stuff going up over the past week, including 2.5 hours going through WrestlePalooza, All Out, and even the CMLL anniversary card. So that is up.
I wanted to give a shout out to this podcast that I'm on that's been produced and hosted by our friend Robert Pearson. It's a movie review podcast that he's just launched called Al the Movie Line, and I'm on it this week talking about The Lego Movie, which is one of my favorite films. And it'll also feature post-wrestling luminaries throughout the season as well. So go subscribe to Al the Movie Line's movie podcast.
Check it out. Robert Pearson, the great Robert Pearson. All right, we're going to say goodbye to everyone. Lots of shows coming up this week. We will have Pollock and Thurston coming out on Wednesday, live at 1 Eastern, as we'll be looking at many, many different stories from the weekend and beyond. And then Wei and I are live back at our normal times for Rewind to Dynamite at 10:15 Eastern time after Dynamite in Pittsburgh, the follow-up to All Out. So all of that coming up this week, postwrestling.com. Now we shift over to forum.postwrestling.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Emoji moment from Sadie, who writes, I'm not crying, you're crying. This is what I said during my first appointment with my physician at Mochi, because I didn't have to convince him I needed a GLP-1. He understood, and I felt supported, not judged. I came for the weight loss and stayed for the empathy. Thanks, Sadie. I'm Myra Amit, founder of Mochi Health. To find your Mochi moment, visit joinmochi.com.
Sadie is a Mochi member compensated for her story.